3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
After a weekend with G7 leaders, President Biden is in Brussels. We'll look ahead to his meetings with NATO and the president of Turkey. Plus, Fed officials could pencil in an increase in interest rates earlier than first thought.
There's been a rash of high inflation readings recently, and that may prompt the Fed to raise rates sooner than expected.
And more people are quitting their jobs these days. It's Monday, June 14th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Benjamin Netanyahu's 12-year run as Israel's prime minister has come to an end. A new coalition government led by commando-turned-tech entrepreneur Naftali Bennett is now in power. It will face the difficult task of reviving an economy battered by the pandemic and preserving a fragile ceasefire with Palestinian militant group Hamas. Here's the WSJ's Felicia Schwartz.
Now that Netanyahu isn't the prime minister, he is on tap to be the opposition leader. There are still a few procedural things that have to happen, but one of his senior advisors told me that he is definitely staying on. And he said himself in his remarks at the parliament that he is going to work every day to topple this government. So we can expect a very volatile period in Israeli politics as the country's longest serving leader is mounting a very ferocious effort to topple a government that is very, very fragile.
As the G7 summit in England concluded on Sunday, leaders released a statement covering a wide range of issues and laid out plans to counter Chinese influence in developing nations. In particular, China's Belt and Road Initiative, which the country has framed as a way to more closely integrate its economy with those across Asia, Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and Latin America, primarily through infrastructure projects. Here's President Joe Biden.
I propose that we have a democratic alternative to the Belt and Road Initiative, the Build Back Better, they've agreed to that.
China responded to the G7 meeting with a statement from an embassy spokesman in London. He denounced the grouping and pushed back against G7 criticisms. We'll have more on the conclusion of the G7 meeting and what's on deck as President Biden continues his trip in Europe a bit later in the podcast. Two Americans, father and son Michael and Peter Taylor, pleaded guilty on Monday in Tokyo to the charge of helping the former chief of Nissan escape Japan in a box aboard a private jet in late 2019. Carlos Ghosn has said he is innocent of all the charges against him and fled Japan because he couldn't get a fair trial. And Novak Djokovic has won the French Open. He claimed his 19th major title and his second of the year. Djokovic sits just one major behind the all-time men's record of 20, currently held by Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. We may get a signal from Federal Reserve officials this week that they expect to raise interest rates sooner than previously expected. Let's talk about this more with markets reporter David Hidari. David, glad you're here.
Glad to be here, Mark.
David, the Fed has a two-day policy meeting this week. We're expecting some updated projections. Can you set the stage for us? What's going to be most important here?
It's going to be largely about inflation. There's been a rash of high inflation readings recently, and that may prompt the Fed to raise rates sooner than expected. The Labor Department's Consumer Price Index rose 5% in May from its level a year earlier, and the Fed tends to shoot for inflation of around 2%. Banks are expecting that the Fed will bring forward a rate increase, and JP Morgan last week brought forward its forecast for the next rate hike to late 2023.
Obviously, inflation is part of this. What about employment levels?
That's right, employment levels are also important. Some Fed board members have said they won't raise rates until inflation is above 2% and the economy has achieved maximum employment. But in recent statements, other Fed officials have suggested they may soften on that because of the wave of retirements since the pandemic began.
David Hidari with us this morning. David, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Just ahead, from the G7 to a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin this week, we'll talk to one of our editors about President Biden's first trip abroad since taking office after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
As we mentioned, President Joe Biden wrapped up a weekend of meetings at the G7 summit. The gathering is just one of many moments on a full schedule as he marks his first foreign trip as president. Later today, the president will participate in meetings with NATO members in Brussels. For some context, as well as a look ahead, I'm joined by one of our London-based editors, Stephen Fidler. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
Stephen, these were the first face-to-face meetings President Biden had with U.S. allies. We know going into the talks that a key aim was to show America is back after the Trump administration. Did President Biden achieve that?
I think in general he did. There was a lot of a relief ahead of time when Biden rather than Trump won the presidential election. This was an opportunity for a face-to-face meeting, and I think the other G7 allies and partners wanted to demonstrate that there were benefits, if you like, to the U.S. from taking a more cooperative approach, a more multilateral approach, approach that contrasted with the way President Trump had done things. So I think there was, on both sides, a sense that there should be successful outcome of this, and I think on the whole, you know, all sides will be pretty satisfied with what happened.
Stephen, obviously we saw lots of photo ops from the weekend, but beyond the symbolism, was anything of substance actually achieved? Any notable takeaways?
The actual actions do remain to be seen. There are a lot of headlines there. I mean, the G7 called out China, for example, urging it to take care of human rights in Xinjiang province and in Hong Kong. There was a pledge on vaccines to deliver more vaccines to the developing world by next year. There was the declaration on tax. There was a promise to rebuild the economy and improve resilience of the G7's economies to problems that the pandemic showed in global supply chains and that kind of thing. There was a section on girls' education. So there's a bunch of things there. As I say, some of that probably will come to fruition, will certainly, things will happen, and other things that are pledged probably will, you know, disappear into the record books without really having a major impact.
President Biden will meet with NATO members today. The U.S. pullout from Afghanistan could be discussed. A key player in that mission will be Turkey. President Biden will be talking with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in private later as well. What will be on the table when they talk?
Well, I think both sides seem to recognize that Turkey, which is a U.S. ally in NATO, that Turkey and relations with the U.S. are probably at the lowest ebb they have been in decades. There is the question of for Turkey of what happens in Afghanistan, I think, but also Turkish support for some of the groups in Syria, and most importantly, the decision by Turkey to buy a Russian air defense system, the S-400, is going to be a major thorn of contention, because this is a NATO ally that is embedding a Russian system into its defenses, and Turkey said, well, it's up to them. But the Americans are very, and other allies are very worried about the implications of that. And it's hard, frankly, to see that any kind of real deliverables, as the diplomats like to call it, any real deliverables coming out of this meeting. And perhaps both sides will get a better understanding of where the other side is coming from. But again, the practical outcome of this most difficult of meetings with the allies is hard to quantify.
And finally, Stephen, another high-profile moment later this week. President Biden will meet with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Obviously, one of the most watched meetings on the itinerary. Any sense of what this discussion will look like?
Well, again, this is going to be very tense. I think both sides agree that relations are at, you know, the lowest level since the end of the Cold War, and that there are a lot of things that the U.S. will want to discuss with Russia, its activities in Ukraine, you know, its alleged interference in Western democracies. And, you know, what the Russians always seem to be looking for is a kind of, they like to be at the table, they like to be respected as an important power. But again, it's not absolutely clear what the outcome will be, except perhaps a better understanding of the other, perhaps some kind of attenuation of Russian activities. But it's hard to see Russia sort of changing direction on the basis of a summit with the U.S. president. And it's likely to be a difficult one. I think, you know, Biden has met Putin before when he was vice president, and it wasn't the warmest of meetings. I'm not sure this will be a particularly warm affair either.
The journalist Stephen Fidler. Stephen, great to have you here. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And finally, as the pandemic clouds lift, more people are quitting their jobs than at any time in at least 20 years. Some are reluctant to go back to the office, others are looking for better pay, and plenty are burned out from extra pandemic workloads. The shift by workers into new jobs and careers is prompting employers to raise wages and offer promotions to keep their talent. And despite businesses taking a hit from the turnover, labor economists say maybe it's ultimately a good thing as people gravitate to jobs more suited to their skills, interests, and personal lives. And that's what's news for Monday. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please leave us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.